Okay. Well, I enjoyed that worship. Greetings, everyone. You know, I was part of that crowd of dry bones. I saw dry bones, but the Lord saw an army. You're about to start something down here. I'm telling you, that worship was good. Well, you know, I was meditating on, Lord, what do you want me to share? About 2.5 weeks ago, and I sensed from the Lord that I needed to do some how-tos. You know, we get told a lot about, you know, you abide in me, and abide in Christ, walk in the Spirit, so forth and so on. But sometimes ministers don't never show how-to, and I just sensed the how-to for tonight. And the title of mine tonight is How to Steward the Word. Steward the Word. You know, I can't even overemphasize this, but what I have, I just feel inadequate for it. I just feel like I don't have enough time. But you know, any time that the Lord is bringing His word, He will bear witness to it, to truth. He said He would. You know, I've said this many times, and you've heard me, you've heard this, that the Holy Spirit will bear witness to the truth. And He's bearing witness, not sometimes. He's bearing witness all the time to the truth. And if you're not receiving, you're not experiencing that witness, it's because you're living more out of your soul than you are your spirit. All you got to do is quiet your heart. He's already equipped you to be able to hear it. All you have to do is quiet your soul. But John 15, let me get there, let's see. John 15, 26. It says, but when the helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will bear witness of me. And his other verses, you know, Jesus says He will bear witness to the truth. Romans, Paul said in Romans 8:16, says the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. So that's how that works. You know, the Holy Spirit, whenever you're bringing the word to yourself, you're reading the word, and something leaps out at you, let the Holy Spirit bear witness to it. You know, whenever a word's being brought, let the Holy Spirit bear witness to it. Let me pray here just a minute. Papa, just bow my heart to you, Lord. Just quiet my own soul. Say to my soul, be still. Be still. Quiet my heart. I can just hear you, Lord. I don't hear anything but you. Focused on you, Lord. Surrender all to you, Jesus. Fresh and anew right now. Lord, I don't have to ask you to bear witness to the truth because that's what you do. Thank you, Lord. I just ask you, Lord, that we would have ears to hear. That we would have ears to hear and a desire to respond to you. Lord, get glory to your name. Thank you, Lord, Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when the Lord is speaking, His words, whether He's whispering to you or you're reading the word or you get a prophetic word, even if you get a vision or a dream, he wants us to steward the word. Because involved in this word is the life. You know, in Romans, let's see, no, Mark chapter 4, Luke chapter 18 and Matthew chapter 13 all have the sower of sowing the seed parable in them, and describes the sower sowing the seed, and Jesus explains that the seed is the word. And in that seed is the capacity to become to its fullest, you know, whatever the seed is. Well, what we're talking about is the word. But if you take an acorn from an oak tree and you take it somewhere and plant it, if it has good soil and it gets, you know, what it needs, water and sun, it's going to grow to its complete, to what it's designed to be, completely full. And so his word will do that too, because he's empowered his word to empower us, to transform our soul. We'd be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We'd renew our mind because he's an enabling word. But when he does bring his word, the enemy's not far behind trying to steal the word. That's what happens, like after this message, if somebody, what did Robert say? The enemy's trying to steal the word. That's why it's good to go back and look at it. You know, I remember there was a pastor in Colorado, and the Lord told me to hook up with him, and I did. And good pastor. And, you know, I would come in with a notebook, and he's an incredible teacher, taught at the school out there in college. And I would just take notes. I had a table sitting there, and I'd go over there by the table and take notes. You know, within about a week or two, that table was full of people taking notes. And somebody said, what are you doing? You're taking these notes. What do you do then? I said, I go back over to notes. I'm going to go back over to notes because I'm hearing the witness of the Spirit all throughout the message. And now I have an obligation, an assignment from the Lord to steward the word, to let it bring it into my heart, let it bring forth fruit. But the enemy's always trying to steal that word. See, that's why, you know, we have to guard the word. And we'll talk about that in a minute. You know, I'm going to read these scriptures to you. You don't have to turn there, but Matthew 13 says, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, which happens a lot, you know, because we're only going to be able to understand according to our capacity to receive. And the evil one will come when we don't understand it. The evil one comes, snatches away that what has been sown in our heart. That's the seed that's sown along the path. Mark chapter 4, verses 14, starting there, said, the sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on the rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises, on account of the word, it's on account of the word, that's how important the word is, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sowed among thorns. They're the ones who hear the word, but the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things, like ambition. It's amazing how we get ambitious when we get some of the word in us. Desire for other things choke the word. And then the word proves unfruitful. But those that are sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, who value it, and bear fruit, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And our job is to come when the word's being brought and say, Lord, I know you've got something you want to impart to me today. Something that you want me to meditate on. Something that you want me to steward, but I want to hear it, Lord. I want to be open to it, and I just yield to you I yield to you. You know, I don't care if it's a scripture that you've been taught 1,000 times. You haven't gotten all that there is to get out of it. I know that after 51 years of myself learning from the Lord. On one scripture, just over and over again. I mean, just recently even, just the same thing. But one of the things that took place, I guess it was 2.5 weeks ago when the Lord told me to do this. He said to me, I was meditating on a vision I had. I was just, when I say meditating on, I was thinking on it before the Lord. And this vision he gave me when I was in class one day in Raleigh, the extension school there. And the Lord spoke to me and he says, steward the vision. And I'd never heard that before. And I said, well, okay, Lord. I said, well, I want you to show me how it is you want me to steward the vision. How do I do that? And he says, it's very similar to how you steward the word. I want you to speak on stewarding the word. And it's very similar to that. You know, what happens with the word is he'll bring you some understanding and the Holy Spirit bears witness to it, but there's more. And he wants us to, you know, it's Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 25, I could be wrong. It's in the heart of God to hide a thing. It's in the heart of the king to search it out. So he wants us to come before him and say, Lord, what does this mean? What do you want me to get out of this? Not, how do you want to reveal yourself in this? I'm not here to get knowledge. You know, I'm here to, what do you want me to see? What spiritual truth, life-giving truth, do you want me to receive out of this? And once you do that, you begin to understand over a period of time, he might give you several words. And one day, if you're paying attention, he'll show you how several of them might link together and form a whole message, a whole theme. He's going somewhere with it. The same thing with dreams and same thing with visions. But the way that you, how to steward the word is given to us in the word. Everything we need to know, he's provided for us in the word. So I'm going to try to, I don't want to take up too much time because, you know, I know you've been here a long time already, but just try to hang with me a little bit. You know that, you know what, before I go there, maybe I better go here. I want to go back to John 15. Let me see where I want to go. Okay, Lord. Thank you. John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me, there's another thing that we can one day talk about, how to do that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. As my Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. Three things right there stand out to me. If you abide in me, so he's abide in me, because, you know, he's coming out of this thing about the vine, said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You know, branches have no use if they're not connected to the vine, because they're sourced. They're in it 100%. They're sourced in the vine. And that's what he's saying we have to be. We can't be dependent on our memory of a truth he showed us. We have to be sourced on him, and he can bring those things to our remembrance. Don't be sourced in what I learned at this other church or how they do things over there, you know, or what happened in this part of my life, you know. But be sourced in him. So he's saying, abide in me. Then he says, if my words abide in you. And then he goes down here in verse 9 and says, as the Father has loved me. Now that's been, you know, that's his description of how much he loves us is how much the Father loves him. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. So it's abide in me, abide in my word, and abide in my love. There's three whole new teachings right there of how to. How to. So abide in my love. He says, and if you will do this, ask what you will, and shall be done of you from my Father. And you know, I'll tell you what comes to mind, a couple of people come to mind that do that, that were an example to me. You know, sometimes when people can model something for you, sometimes you don't have to start at the beginning. You can take what's modeled before you. If your heart is in a good place, not proud, oh, I already know something. Oh, I've accomplished this and that. You know, no. If your heart is in a right place to receive, if you're willing to humble yourself to receive, you don't have to start at the beginning. You can start where somebody else just modeled it for you. They modeled it for you. And then you can take that and do it. I've done that. That's happened with me. Man, that's happened when I've been overseas and the Lord says, I want you to, you know, do this. I want you to set this pastor in as an apostle. Well, I've never seen that done before. Yes, you have. I've shown it to you. Showed it to me one time in the Spirit. And because he'd shown it to me, I could do it. And I remember one time, Pastor Greg Moore out in Colorado, he would do certain things during class. And I was wondering, is anybody else catching this but me, besides me? Because he would model things. And I was able to go and do those things because he had modeled it for me. See? So Jesus has been modeling things for us. And he's also empowered us to be able to do those things and greater things than these things. So he's saying here, if you do these things, if you will abide in me, you're sourced in me, and my word abides in you, and you abide in my love, ask what you will, and it will be done for you, my Father, be given to you. And I was thinking about Andrew Womack. You know, it's like sometimes I've seen him, I've been in meetings where he came to minister, and things would happen on the fly, and out of him came out, oh, as soon as it came out of him, oh, the Holy Spirit bore witness. That's, I mean, it was just natural thing that just came out. You know, it wasn't something he memorized or planned or pre-planned or something. And stuff happened right in front of me. Healings or whatever took place right there. And because he was abiding in, the word was abiding in him, and he was abiding in the Father's love. And then there's my brother, you know, he'll watch this later, but I'll embarrass him a little bit. My brother Steve Humphrey out in California, I remember when I went out there, took my three young daughters who are now, one of them's a grandmother, but this is the one that's a grandmother now, Robin. And she was going to be going into the second grade. And she had a severe case of asthma. I mean, two or three times a week we had to go to the emergency room. Almost lost her several times. And we showed up on Steve's door. And he greeted us. He recently moved out there. So he knew us, knew my kids. And he greeted Robin. And Robin says, and out of her, first thing she said is, I have asthma. That was what she was identifying with it, you know, at 7 years old. And out of his mouth, just so naturally, he said, well, Robin, you're welcome in my home, but asthma's not welcome here. And when she crossed the threshold, she was healed just like that. Because Steve, see, was sourced in him, was abiding in him, was abiding in the word and abiding in his love. You know, I'm glad I remembered to tell you that. I remember one time talking to, and it's not about what you memorize. See, now you're leaning towards your human reasoning when you're thinking that way. It must be because he memorized so much scripture. No, that's human reasoning. Because I remember talking to Andrew one day. You know, one day, back up just a second. One day, I wasn't there. It was some class before me. I was told this, that one class, it must have been in a chapel, was, you know, they were just bringing up scriptures, this arbitrary scriptures out of the Word, you know, Old Testament, New Testament, and just asking Andrew if he knew where it was. He could tell them exactly where all of them were. And I remember that story, and when I had a chance to talk to him one day, I said, because he had memorized so many scriptures, and I asked him, I said, I've always wanted to be able to memorize scripture, but I hadn't been very good at it, just trying to memorize it. And I asked him, how do you do that? What is your method? He says, I've never tried to memorize scripture. I meditate the word. I abide in the word, basically what he's saying. And the word abides in me. That's what it is. So what I want to talk to you about is how to do that. Now, Andrew's got a book out called Effortless Change. I recommend it. And he talks about meditating the word. And the word will do the work. But I'm just going to go at it a little bit different angle. Let's go to Proverbs 4. And Jesus. Maybe I better pull that up over here. Myself. Proverbs 4, we're going to start over here in verse 20. You know, this is King David speaking to his son, Solomon. But it's the Father speaking to us. My son, give attention to my words. Let me just read it. I got it written out here. My son, be attentive to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Verse 21, let them not escape your sight. Keep them within your heart, or King James, in the midst of your heart. Verse 22, for they are life to those that find them and healing to all their flesh. Verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence. From it flow the springs of life. Now, out of this, I'm going to show you about stewarding the word, because that's all he's talking about. Be attentive to my word. You know, verse 20, that be attentive to is to, in the Hebrew, that's to listen with such intent, like cutting out everything else. I'm listening intently, paying so very, very close attention to, attentive to the words. You know, sometimes I do this all the time myself, I'm guilty. I'll be listening to somebody bring a word, and I'll get such a witness. I think I'm making all that noise, that's me. I'll get a witness, and I'll be thinking on that, and all of a sudden I just miss the next thing the speaker said. You know, I know you've done that too, probably. Might be doing it right now. Anyway, but this is what happens. You're just paying so close attention to. That's being attentive. Then he says, incline your ear. He's talking about your spiritual ear here. That's what the Father wants us to hear. It's your spiritual ear. The ears of the heart. I mean, to completely make room in your heart, prepare your heart, bow your heart, yield your heart, you know, so that all you hear is that. That's all you hear. I think I'll interject a little story right here. You know, I don't do it anymore, but I used to design houses. After I'd retired from building houses, I, I, I used to design my own homes when I was a builder. I began to design homes for other builders, and you know, we moved down here, I had three contractors that I did work for. Most of them were huge custom homes, you know, 45 to 6,500 square feet, very complex, none of the straight up, you know, two-story houses. It would be very complex and took tremendous concentration. You know, it's, you might have a house that starts out not normal, but then all of a sudden it takes a turn. It's got a curved wall outside there, and then it's got a something part of the house going off at a 30-degree angle, and then you got all this craziness going on. Well, I'm in the middle of all that, and I forgot to send what I've got so far back to the clients of the contractors and say, okay, this is what I've got so far. I need your approval on it. And I've got these six questions or whatever I've got. And so I'm waiting for them to get back to me. And I pick up pretty quick when I meet with someone if they're going to take a while. Some people will have it for a month before they get back. So, you know, what I've got to do, and my mind is filled with this set of plans. I mean, it's very complex. I've got to set all that aside. I've got to take all the printouts I've got of it. I've got a plotter, you know, that I get these big rollout sheets. I've got to set all of them aside, all my calculations and all the everything aside. I got to get that plan out of my mind, that whole home. And now I've got to start a whole new project, a different set of plans. I've got to be completely clear. Everything, all that other stuff's got to be out of my heart and mind to start this new project, so I can be focused on it. That's what I was thinking about when I heard this. Incline your ear. Same thing in verse 21, let them not escape from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart. Same thing. Same thing. Keep it in the midst of your heart. You so let it fill your thoughts until it just occupies you. It begins to take place in your soul. It just begins to fill your soul. And you let his word find its home in your heart and your mind. And just allow it to ruminate right there. And you just meditate in it. You're stewarding the word. You're beginning to steward the word right there. Colossians 3:6 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Jesus is talking about this all the time throughout. I mean, in the Old Testament, we can go there. In the New Testament, you know, Jesus is talking about it. The apostles are talking about it, about being so given over to the Word that it occupies you to the point where you are abiding in the Word. And see, you're not in this part over here where the seeds fell and they're among the thorns, I think it is, who were the cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in. Now, you don't make room for that. You're not making room for that kind of thing. So, the second part of this, you know, it says, keep it in the midst of your heart. That's to watch over it. The word keep. Now, in the New Testament, it's used many times. Jesus used it. Keep my word. He says, keep my word. You know, to keep is to watch over. I know in the Greek, I can't pronounce it in the Hebrew. I looked it up and I said, no, I won't be able to get that one. But in the Greek, it's akouo, to keep, to preserve, to watch over, to guard, to protect, keep it from getting stolen. Don't allow it to be stolen. Okay. And then let me go to verse 22. For they are life to those that find them and healing to all their flesh. See, as you abide, first you're going to continually be bowing your heart to him. Always be bowing your heart to Jesus, because you, everything in your life and the life of the Spirit is going to come forth from that, abiding in Him. And abiding, now you're abiding in His Word. So you're going to watch over the Word. You're going to keep it. Because it is life. And then we're not talking about the, we're talking about the God kind of life. It is life that springs up and doesn't have an end. You know, it's like an effervescent fountain that doesn't, there's no emptying of it, you know. There's life in it. It is life to those that find it, and healing to all their flesh. In verse 23, keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Again, here's that word keep. Guard it. You got to guard your heart. You got to set a guard over your heart. There's certain things you don't allow in there. You know, and, you know, all of us have our own things that we deal with to guard the heart. You know, sometimes I don't watch the news a lot. I kind of read a little bit, but I get all out of being sourced in Him if I'm paying attention to what's going on. Not just in our country, but I get information what's going on behind the scenes in troubling parts of the world. I'm not going to tell you how I get all this information, but it's only the grace of God that, you know, we're doing as well, everybody's doing as well as they are. I'm just going to say that. It's just the grace of God. But all that really means is that He's preparing for something big. The Lord's preparing for something big. But it's easy for me to get distracted. See, that's why we got to keep our heart with all diligence. Keep our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Got to guard your heart. Proverbs 23:23 says, buy truth. Don't sell it. Hold it close. We're talking about the Word here. That's stewarding the Word. Hold it close. And then it says in that same verse, it says, by wisdom, instruction, and understanding. This is not of the natural mind. This is of the mind of the Spirit. Okay? This is abiding in Him. Don't let it go because of a lack of attention to it. You know, I'm getting a lot out of this, and then go 2 days and don't look at it anymore. You know, don't allow it to be stolen from you. Because the enemy wants to steal it. And he wants to bring persecution because of it. And the moment you begin to get something out of it, all of a sudden he's going to start bringing something against you. Some attack here or there, irritation from that person or this other thing, or a bill comes up you didn't even know existed to try to get your mind out of rest, your heart out of rest, so that you're thrown off track, and you're not sourced in Him. You're not abiding in Him. You're not abiding in His Word, and you're not abiding in His love. But if you find yourself in that place, you just sit down, take a deep breath. Lord, I just quiet my soul. Psalm 62:5. Lord, I quiet my soul before You. I say to my soul, be still before You. Psalms 89, I will hear what the Lord God will say. You just quiet your soul. You don't have to go beating yourself up because you got off track. You get back to the place of your eyes are on Him. You're beholding Him. You're sourced in Him. You're abiding in Him. And then you pull that Word up He's been revealing to you, and you begin to abide in it. I can't tell you how many hundreds of times certain scriptures I have meditated on in a stewarded in my own heart and seen it years later, something come up and the Lord says, because you stewarded that word. That's because you did this. You were sowing into this. You were sowing the word, and this is what came out of that. And that was 15 years ago, Lord. That's because you sowed it, but you kept, but not only did you sow the word, you nurtured the word. So you stewarded the word. It's not enough just to sow the word. Steward the word. You know, you steward it. Steward the word. And I remember one day, first time I ever heard this phrase, I'm trying to think what decade it was. I'm pretty sure it was in the 90s, 1990s. And we had a prophet there that was world known guy and traveled a lot, but he was based out of our fellowship. And he was a theologian as well, PhD, you know, he spoke fluent Hebrew and Greek and read it and all that kind of stuff. He was an amazing man, amazing prophet, very accurate. And he noticed that every time that they would bring visiting prophets through, they would pull me out of the crowd and speak the same thing over me. And when they did, I would get attacked because of that word. It would manifest in my business. You know, oh, the Lord's called you to be blessed and you're financially blessed. You, all of a sudden, stuff would come, start coming unraveled, and got to the point where I didn't even want, oh, prophet's coming, I'm not coming. So one day, I was, this prophet recognized all that, and he asked me one day, how I felt about all that, and I told him. He said, Robert, you've got to steward the word. And he was walking off, and I said, whoa. I got to get home. I got my wife's called, the supper's on the table. I said, no, you're not going anywhere until you tell me what that means. Show me how to do that. And he began to show me this. You've got to pray over that word and sit before the Lord and quiet your soul, and he'll show you. Same thing about a vision or a dream. Because I can tell you, with visions and dreams, they're not isolated. They're connected. They're always connected. But the same thing's true about the word. The same thing's true about the word. I remember when I was teaching my prophetic trainings, actually, the last part, the last section or session of that training is all about stewarding the prophetic word. And if any of those of you that have been in that might remember, but I remember going back to when I first got born again, the Lord spoke some things to me. And then I began to get have dreams. And then decade after decade, I would get these prophetic words from these people that didn't know me. We're speaking right to that thing. Then I would have a vision. And I would have another vision over there. And then I would have, I didn't see them as connected until 40 years later. I mean, just this past week, the Lord was showing me how all these things have been coming to a head to this moment in time where I'm at right now because of the things that he's about to do in our lives, but also in the earth. And it's because he wants me to steward all this. See, we have a responsibility. If he gives you a word, even if he gives you a word to preach or teach, you know, we're here, you know, all of us that are here that have ministered, okay? You know, Fred and Ernestine and myself and probably Phyllis and, you know, you get more out of your teachings than everybody else does most of the time, right? It's speaking to you. Isn't that amazing? I found, guess what? He wants us to continue to steward the word that he gave us to give. Because there's more there. And if we miss that opportunity, he'll give us more opportunities, but, you know, he wants to build on it. And this is like an introductory of how to steward the word. You know, you can go back through Proverbs 4, verses 4 through 20. You can do a study on all these things, being attentive to, incline your ear to, keep them in the midst of your heart. Don't let it escape your sight. I mean, it's like, look at it. Look at it. Meditate on it. Steward the word. The word has to be stewarded. Has to be stewarded. And I think I'll stop right there. I'm going to pray, but I wanted to find out if anybody wanted to respond to it. I would invite you to if you don't do anything else, respond to the Lord with it. Lord, I want to be able to, one, hear your still small voice, two, to know the witness of the Spirit, and to three, I want to learn more about how to steward your word. I'm going to begin to do it. Don't worry about what has happened before today. Just begin to steward the word that you get today. You know, and tomorrow, pick it up again. Go be with him. Be sourced in him. Abide in him. And then abide in his word. And let his word abide in you. And abide in his love. Drink of his love. One day I'll talk about that. Anyway, that's it. If anybody got anything they wanted to respond to that or comment or anything, question or anything like that.
Amen. Robert asks, I want to ask you to just respond. Or if you got a question, I think he wants me to keep recording going right when we do that. Don't you, Robert?
Yes, ma'am. I think it's good.
Okay, then. Anybody want to respond to the word? Anybody got a question for Robert? Robert, I got a question. Do you have a definition or a short definition for steward? You gave us a lot of information on it, which was good. All of it was good. But is there like a one paragraph thing about
stewardship? It, you know, it depends. You know, it's used in so many different areas like business or whatever. But, you know, in spiritual matters, it's taking a responsibility for, I could probably come up with a better answer later. Taking responsibility for and taking it upon yourself to glean everything and that the Lord wants you to get. Steward is to preserve it, protect it, to guard it, and manage it. Let the Lord show you how, and then be open to Him showing you how, what all that means. And that's how it is in connection to what I'm talking about.
Okay. Taking the responsibility to glean everything the Lord wants you to get and to manage it.
I probably shouldn't have said manage. But anyway, yeah, glean all that you can get, preserve it, protect it, guard it.
What about meditate on it then?
Protect and guard it.
Oh, and get and guard it.
Yeah, and meditate it.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else got any questions for Robert? I guess that's it, Robert. I'm going to stop the recorder, and then we can close out with prayer.
Okay.